Welcome to Wildlife Rehabilitation from Rescue to Release, a podcast dedicated to licensed wildlife rehabilitators and the veterinarians who support them. I'm your host, Gail Buell.
Techniques we discuss here are meant for licensed wildlife professionals. If you aren't licensed and trained for wildlife rehabilitation, do not attempt to capture, hold, or rehabilitate any wild animal. If you find an injured wild animal, a wildlife professional can recommend next steps. We will tackle topics about rescue, care, management, reconditioning, and releasing wildlife found in North America. This is a deep dive into each subject. We hope to give rehabilitators information they can use because they're already going to great lengths to rescue and nurse animals back to health. There are three possible outcomes in wildlife rehabilitation: release, euthanasia, and placement. An injured or orphaned wild animal's journey to restored health and independence in their natural habitat is delicate and complex. We draw techniques and expertise from many disciplines. Many animals brought into rehabilitation cannot be saved. The last gift we can give them is humane euthanasia. We'll talk more about when this is necessary. Sometimes animals are deemed non-releasable and evaluated to be suitable for a life in captivity. When that happens, we shift to a long-term approach to managing their care, training, and housing. Some such animals serve as ambassador animals, a term for animals that rehabilitators use to educate the public. Each episode, we'll speak with experts who represent specialty topics across the profession of wildlife rehabilitation, ambassador animal care and management, showcasing best practices.
Welcome back. This episode will shift focus to a tool that's incredibly important in wildlife rehabilitation, the electronic database. Throughout the season, we'll cover four such databases. Now, these are software tools to help rehabilitators work more efficiently, mine their own data to spot trends, or find places to alter care, and also to make the end of the year reports easier. Now, who doesn't want that? Here, I speak with Dr. Cara Pierce about the database Wild One. I just want to say that I am super thrilled to be talking about this subject, partly because really, it's a fairly new subject for me as well, and I've been involved in rehab for a long time, but I think it's very exciting. This technology has been around for a little while, but I certainly want to spread the word about it as much as possible. And I feel very grateful and very excited to talk to Dr. Cara Pierce from the Wildlife Center of Virginia, and we are going to be talking about databases, believe it or not, and it's exciting. It really is. So welcome. And so Dr. Pierce, I was wondering if you could give just a little bit of background about yourself and your position at the Wildlife Center of Virginia, and then we'll kind of get started in the database topic.
Thank you for having me. This is very fun. I do love a good database, so I'm thrilled. Love a spreadsheet. So I am Dr. Cara Pierce. I'm currently the Director of Veterinary Services at the Wildlife Center of Virginia, down here in Waynesboro, Virginia. A little bit about me. I started my career many years ago, actually as a wildlife rehabber on the west coast of Canada, and I really liked that. I was rehabbing at a large-ish center there during my biology degree. And I maintained during that time I was going to be a human doctor, but I just really liked working with animals. And then someone one day was like, well, you know, there's a job for that, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing wildlife rehab. I really loved that. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to do more. So I ended up going to vet school with the goal of becoming a wildlife veterinarian working in a rehab facility. That was what I always wanted to do all through vet school. And they told me it wasn't a job and I'd never do it. And I kept saying, all right, well, thank you for your opinion. I'm going to just see what happens. And then now here we are. Now I'm the director at the Wildlife Center. I did a couple internships to get here. And now uh-huh. I oversee our whole veterinary department.
Wow. So if you had advice for someone that is now in the position that you were, as far as people saying, well, there's, you're not, there's not a job like that, what would you give that person? What would you say?
I would tell them not to listen and to follow their hearts and chase their dreams, because there are jobs. There's more and more jobs in this field every day, it seems. Gosh, I am always looking on the NWA job board, and it seems like there's more and more jobs every year. And I think, you know, if it's your passion, you just have to chase it. For me, during vet school, I went to vet school in Canada, in Saskatoon, mm-hmm. and there was not a strong wildlife program. I had to do, you know, dog medicine, cat medicine, horse medicine, cow medicine, and then on the mm-hmm. side, chase my interest, which was the exotics and wildlife species. So
okay.
I you kind of have to work a little harder for it, I think, sometimes, because you have to often go outside of your like core curriculum to get those skills that you want. But I would say, you know, just go for it. If it's something you love, you'll make it work, and you'll find a way to fit it into your life.
Right. I'm just going to give a shout out to another podcast that I listen to all the time. It's called Aquadocs, and it's about veterinary medicine with anything in the water, whether it's fish or marine mammals or turtle, reptiles, whatever. And all and they have reflected the exact same thing, is that you may have to work a little harder, you may have to dig a little harder, but the jobs are there. And it can even create your own positions in a lot of times too. So that was echoing in my head. And we'll put a link to Aquadocs in the show notes, because it's a great podcast. So, but that's just great advice, I think, is that you just got to just ignore the noise.
Exactly.
And just say, I'm doing it.
It's
I'm
like
doing it.
Good life advice in general.
Right. Isn't it? I'm doing it. Thanks for your opinion, but I'm going to ignore it. Well, so today I have asked you here so we can talk about databases, yours in particular. But before we get to the nitty gritty of Wild One, I want to talk a little bit about background of like why databases are important. Why?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, for me, databases are critical to the work I do. I spend a lot of time every single day working in our database, whether it be from a patient care perspective or from a research perspective. As the director of the department, I'm responsible for, you know, doing research projects, helping get data for different research projects, but then also looking at our general overall, what is our department doing? What patients are coming in? Why are they coming in for things as, you know, simple from forecasting, budgeting for the next year, all the way up to things like looking for different infectious diseases. So I think no matter the size of your organization, it's super, super important that you have a database that you use to keep track of your patients for, you know, reporting purposes, to keep track of your patients for your organization. Mm-hmm. Keeping track of, you know, who brought the patient, where does it need to go back to? We get so busy in this field, as you know, if you mm-hmm. don't have those things written down, you're unlikely to remember them. And if you have...
Yeah, let's not do record by post-it notes.
Exactly. So, you know, it just makes things easier for you. And this is such a hard right. field to begin with. Why would you make anything harder for yourself if you don't have to?
Well, okay, so I'm going to push back on that, right? Because I'm an independent wildlife rehabilitator. I don't do the thousands of animals that you do every year at the Wildlife Center of Virginia. So why would a database be important for me?
Oh, that's a good question. I still think you can't rely on your own brain every time, for sure, for keeping track of things. But I also think there is... you know, through a database, a greater contribution to our field and to science. And we can talk a lot more about that, you know, yeah. what sort of things we can do with the data that we have in these databases. And, you know, even an independent home rehabber, if you see any patients, those numbers can be significant and contribute to our understanding of wildlife disease and wildlife rehabilitation as a whole, I think.
Right. And I'm totally on board with that. I just know that, you know, for a long time, I did not adopt a database, partly because it's like, you know, I'm taking only 50, 60 animals in a year, you know, and I'm a paper person, you know, I'm of that age, right? That, you know, I could just do it all on paper. But thank you for that. Thank you very much for that. So if I'm a person that is interested in a database, what kinds of features should I be thinking about?
Oh, yeah. So there's lots of things. From my perspective, I'm always looking for something that is going to have a degree of medical management with my medical background, obviously. So I love something where I can put my diagnostics and my medications and treatment plans so that I don't have to keep those things in my brain or on a whiteboard. They're somewhere that are accessible to, you know, all my staff members, anyone, anywhere can go in and look at those treatment plans. And for us, you know, having an online platform works really well for that because I am not always physically in this building. So I can, from home, log on online and, you know, see what has come in. If my interns need me to look at cases, I can do that from anywhere in the world, which is pretty cool. I've, you know, been on the beach, on the beach in Mexico and had to pull up records before and look at them for them. So that's really cool for me. So that's a kind of a personal bias, is that medical, that medical aspect is key to me, obviously. But I think usability is a really big thing. It needs to be something that is user-friendly and intuitive for how your brain works, you know? If it's too hard, you're not going to do it, right? You need to find a program that makes sense to you, that you know, it makes sense where to click next. I know we have the whole debate between like PC users and Mac users, and their brains work a little differently. So you need to find the program that works the way your brain works, really. Another big thing for me is like customizability. I think it's important that there's something that you can have a degree of personalization and modification to suit the type of work you do, because we all do such different work that there's certainly not a one size fits all option for everyone. Oh my gosh, what else? I think something that can help with your annual report is huge. I know we all have to report a lot of stuff every year, and that can be a huge pain. And I think most of the major databases do have a good degree of helping you populate your annual report and things like that. And then one other thing I think that's important that sometimes gets overlooked and might be understated sometimes is having standardized data fields so that I can compare my data to a different center's data, to your data, that we're using similar language and similar kind of standardized reasons for admission and things like that, so that when someone comes to us from the biggest university in the world and they want to know what is the reason animals are coming into wildlife rehab, we could all work together and contribute data to that, even if we were using different databases. I think that's super important.
I want to explore that just a little bit more, those variables, because that standardized language is really important to help kind of control variables, right? That's kind of what we're talking about. So maybe with an example, how does having standardized fields in some of these databases help with research or help with that?
I'm trying to think of a good example. So in our database, you know, there's all these different subsets of how you categorize reasons of admission. So for me here, if I got a robin that was caught by cat, I would classify that as, you know, domestic animal, cat attack, something like that. And it would kind of auto-populate and classify like that. But say, you know, you were using a completely different database that didn't have necessarily a standardized field. Say it was just a box where you typed in reason for admission. You could type in, you know, attacked by house cat or something like that.
Right.
And that might not come up when you search, you know, domestic animal attack or something like that. So having those preset fields that fit most things we see. Certainly there's, you know, an undetermined category that a lot of things fall into.
Right.
But for the most part, we can classify the common things we see, because we do see common things commonly. You know, we see those cat attacks, we see those hit windows, we see those fall from nests, those types of things. And being able to compare those is really important. Fall from nest is another one I think of really commonly. I often just see people write FFN. So, you know, if you had a box that said reason for admission and you just wrote FFN,
that doesn't mean anything to me.
Right. It doesn't mean anything to anyone else except the people within your center, right? So then say I was a researcher and wanted to look at that data and know how many birds came in for falling from their nest, I would have no idea how to pull those records and find those things. So that standardization to me is super important. And as we as a field really need to work together on those things.
Because I think that if you're not in the research field, right, if you are not firmly grounded in the sciences, for example, you don't think about that. Because isn't attack by a house cat the same as a cat attack? Well, yes, but no, it isn't. It isn't. So thank you for that. So I do have a question. If I'm contributing, I'm on Wild One as a database, and someone from outside the wildlife rehabilitation world, or even somebody in the wildlife rehabilitation world, the biggest university in the world, or maybe you, Dr. Pierce, you wanted to do something, and you're trying to gather a lot of data. Let's say it's on immature red-tailed hawks and exposure to rodenticide. So how does that work like with my privacy? Is there any concerns about that? Is there any things that we have to think about there?
Yeah, good question. So from a privacy standpoint, there's a couple things I think of. To start with, for our Wild One system, the servers that are maintaining all that data is maintained by an external company that has like super high level like security software. The company's called SiteVision, and they, you know, do all our website stuff, but they also maintain our secure servers for us because that's beyond the scope of what I know how to do. So we have professionals dealing with that, which is great because there is a lot of data in there, you know, people's names, people's phone numbers, people's addresses, donor information potentially. So we are pretty locked down on that end of it, but we will share data with people who are looking into legitimate scientific endeavors. So if someone wanted to do a research project, they have to submit a proposal to us, basically. We evaluate that proposal. There's a couple people within our organization that evaluate that to make sure that it's a legitimate scientific endeavor, you know. We sometimes just get random requests, just that people are curious about things, and we don't share data with those people. It needs to be an actual scientific project with a goal of, you know, learning something, publishing something, a master's project, a PhD project. It has to be legitimate, I guess, if that makes sense. And then we really carefully evaluate those requests. And then the data that we do share, for the most part, is only things that you would publicly share, like in your annual report to begin with. So we're not sharing any personal information or anything like that. By using Wild One, you do kind of agree to share a portion of your intake data, but it's usually, by and large, the things that you would share publicly anyways with your annual report, which, you know, can be accessed because it's government information. Anyone could, I guess, in theory, FOIA that if they wanted to. So there is a degree, certainly, of sharing that information, but it's very carefully evaluated and not available for everyone, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And thanks for clarifying that. And just for our listeners, if they're not sure what FOIA means, it's Freedom of Information Act. And so as a person or an entity, I can ask for information from the government. And I am free to do that. And then they have to provide it. Sometimes they will redact information, or sometimes it takes a long time to do it, get it to you, but they will. They need to get it to you. So thank you. That was really clarifying for me.
One thing to add to that I think is important if you're a researcher listening, the data we share, we also validate every year before we are able to share that data. So there's any number of things we go through and check and verify, you know, remove duplicate cases, things like that, to make sure that the data that we are sharing is as accurate as possible. It's a big pain in the butt to do. It's a lot of work. But it's really important to us that if we are sharing data, it's really high quality data. So there's this whole document we go through in order to validate each year's data, and then add that to all the data that's already validated.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole process. I need to do it for this year still. I'm not looking forward to it.
But you're right. It's very valuable and very, very important, right, to make the outcomes of these papers and research projects valuable, right, and accurate as best as possible. Now, do you ever mine your own data from the Wildlife Center of Virginia, for example, to either look at trends or look at diets? Oh, my gosh, this diet isn't working for us. We need to explore more or whatever. I mean, do you guys do that?
Yeah, constantly I'm doing that. I would say, gosh, almost at least monthly, I'm pulling data for something to look through and evaluate how we're doing, what we're doing. Should we be doing something different? One we're working on right now with a student, actually, is looking at our outcomes with Virginia opossums. We at our center have a weight cutoff that we don't rehab possums below a certain weight, just based on our resources, our abilities. We're kind of wondering, is that the right number? We don't know right now necessarily. Sure. So we're going back through the last kind of 10 years of data just to see what those outcomes are. Do possums under a certain weight have a really low likelihood of surviving? If so, we might modify that number. So we use it to inform our protocols that we use within our hospital. And also for planning purposes, as the director, I'm always looking, you know, compared to last year, how many patients have we admitted? So I know what to expect for budget and staffing and all those types of things. And there's, oh gosh, any number of things I'm always pulling. Another one that I think people don't think about a lot is information for donors. So, you know, we'll get someone who is really interested in snapping turtles come to us and, you know, they might be a major donor. And I can go in there and say, oh, you know what, we've admitted 13 snapping turtles this year and 10 of them were hit by cars. This one's been here 6 months. This cost this much. And giving that information to donors is really useful sometimes because they can see how their money is being spent on something that they're passionate about.
Yeah, it's a very focused. That's a great idea to help the donors because you want to match the donor with what they're passionate about. You don't want them thinking that they're just, it wouldn't be wasting money, but, you know, giving to an organization that doesn't quite follow their passions. I totally get that.
We do that a fair bit, honestly, because it, you know, we can find that information really easily and quickly. And I can send it to them. You know, I can pull up a spreadsheet and shows them the reason the snapping turtles have come in this year or the reason the box turtles came in this year. And I think that is useful from that perspective, for sure.
The other thing that occurred as we were just chatting about this, about looking at your own data, is I think that one of the things that it may be useful for pulling your own data, especially if maybe you're doing it right before the baby season starts, is that you might have an impression that something is happening. You're euthanizing everything. But when you pull your data, you really find out, no, you weren't. Or that the reasons that those animals were euthanized is because this year I had a lot more hit by car X, Y, or Z, right? So I think it may help with some of just your, you know, your anecdotal and your emotional state about what you think about, you know, baby bunnies, for example.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, at the end of the year, I'll pull all our data and share that with our department. You know, we rehabbed this many species this year. We released this many animals this year. And those things are really impactful to share with your volunteers and the people you're working with, because it's so easy to get into the weeds of every single day here and feel like, you know, how could we possibly be making any progress? How could we possibly be doing any good? But being able to take a step back and look at things on a, you know, an annual basis, we're doing so much good work. And, you know, the numbers support that for sure.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It allows you to take a step back and look at it. So excellent, excellent point. But let's talk about Wild One. Anyway, what does Wild One stand for, by the way?
Wild One is the Wildlife Incident Log Database and Online Network. It's a very long name. Yep. That's why we just say Wild One, because that's long.
And it's perfect. It's a perfect name. So
I wish I could take credit for being involved in the name, but it long predates me, but it was clever. So whoever figured it out, good job.
Clever. It was very clever.
So, okay. So Wild One, and it was the Wildlife Center of Virginia that created Wild One, correct?
Yeah. So
and,
we, Go ahead. Yep. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and when did that happen?
Yeah. So we founded it and started it long, long before my time here. And what it kind of was born out of was a different project called Project Tripwire. And Project Tripwire, the whole point of that was to kind of collect wildlife health data from wildlife rehabilitation centers, to basically be monitoring for some sort of outbreak event or biosecurity threat. And it was actually funded by the U.S. Department of Defense initially through a technology grant and the Defense and Homeland Security, with this whole point of being kind of almost like a thermometer for like bioterrorism or things like that. So that's what it was born out of. And then that's kind of where it started, just as an information collecting thing. And then we realized that, you know, a patient management system would be useful to go along with that, and more people would want to use it then. So in, I think, 2011, they fully launched it with this patient management system as well, to manage your day-to-day clinic operations, your patient admissions, and while at the same time gathering that scientific information that Project Tripwire initially set out to gather.
Wow. Oh, that's great history. I did not know that.
Long before me, but...
Right. But still, just really valuable how it got started. I think origin stories, whether it's you or me or origin of like a database is pretty interesting stuff. History is cool. Okay. So features. What kinds of features? If I knew nothing about Wild One, what kind of features are there?
Okay. Well, obviously, you have the ability to admit patients with your finder history, the contact information. It saves the contact information for you, which is great. So, you know, that neighbor who always has that caught by cat rabbit every time of year with the outdoor cat that comes every couple of weeks in the summer, their information is saved in there. So you just have to be like, oh, Chris is here again. And it'll auto-populate all that for you, which is nice. Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Maps are built in, which is really nice. So if you have a finder who comes in and says, oh, I don't know the address, but I found it near the Costco, blah, 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 you can look at the map and just put a pin on that map and it'll mark that location for you. We find that particularly useful with our box turtle patients that have to go back to, you know, within a certain radius of where they came from.
Right.
We can find out, you know, the exact corner and pinpoint that. So when it comes time for release, sometimes in box turtle cases, like a year later, we know exactly where that patient goes back to.
Right. Right.
So I love that about it. I think that's fabulous. From a patient management perspective, it's really good for me. I build all my treatment plans in Wild One. And then basically it generates a report for me every day, like a to-do list, if you will. So every single day, we print out that report and it tells me what medications each patient needs, what procedures they need, what their weight is, do they need to be weighed, all those things. And that's all very customizable, which is really nice. So, you know, you can put it in your own language and have the procedures and plans and the medications that you have in your hospital, which is great. So from a patient management perspective, that works very well for me, and I love that. We have the same thing from a rehabilitation side. So I use the medical side. Our rehabbers use kind of the rehab side, which tracks meals, and you put in, you know, how much each patient ate and weights and what meal they're prescribed and how many grams and all that type of stuff. So there's a lot of patient management stuff, and I could go on for days about the patient management stuff alone, honestly.
Sure.
The other thing I really like about it is I do all my medical records in there, right? So I do all my daily soaps in there, and it'll help generate those for me based on the treatment plan. So I can go in and say, you know, I have my American Crow that needs meloxicam, radiographs, a bandage change, and a weight. I'll check off that I did all those things, and then it auto-populates kind of a soap saying that those things were done in that patient, and then you write, you know, any additional comments you might have.
Right.
So,
can you define soap for some of our listeners that might not know what it is?
So, SOAP is an acronym for things you include in a medical record, basically. So, subjective, assessment, objective, and plan. So those are kind of the four sections we include in our medical record. So subjective, you evaluate things like, you know, were they BAR, QAR, all those very subjective evaluation type things. Assessment is going to be any other sort of assessment type things. Objective would be like your you know, your heart rate, any numbers you have, a weight, all those things that, that mm-hmm. are definable. And then plan is, you know, what is looking at those three things, what is your plan going forward based on all those things you just determined? So
right. we yeah, write, what are you going to do?
Exactly. And we write those daily for every patient we have. But Wild One helps us do that, which is
really- Okay. Excellent. If people want more information about Wild One, where do they find it? And we'll post it in the show notes too and in our resources.
Of course. So it's just www.wild-one.org. And that's it. Really easy. There's like a free test account you can go on and navigate around and just practice and see, you know, if it's something that makes sense for you, if it's something you like. And if you do like it and you sign up for it, our Wild One manager will, you know, do a training session with you and all those things so that you can learn how to use it, which is really, really nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is helpful. Amazing. Yeah, that is very nice. And we try really hard to, you know, keep updating it as we can. And our Wild One manager does a really good job of that, too. We'll, you know, get requests from people who are like, I really want this feature. Is it possible? And we try where we can. So an example, this last year, we added the ability to attach photos to Wild One, which we didn't have before. But, you know, a user was like, this would be really useful for what I do. Can you do it? And then, you know, we have to get a cost estimate from the developer and all that, and then figure out if it's, you know, useful. But that was something we added this year, is the ability to attach photos, which is great. I'm trying to think what else. Gosh, there's also some donor information management stuff in there as well. So you can track, you know, who brought you an animal, who donated, all those types of things, which is great. We added like a manage multiple feature as well. So you can manage multiple records at once. So say you have, you know, those six baby squirrels that all got fluids. Okay, yeah. You can do those all at the same time, which is really, really nice. Trying to think what else, goodness.
And I'm assuming also, while you're thinking of other great features, is that Wild One also helps with your year-end reports.
Yes, definitely. So with basically the click of a button, you get your state and your federal report. And we have pretty much all the states and many of the provinces loaded in there. So we work with those organizations to find out, you know, what parameters are they looking for, so that our program will just pull that information automatically for you. And we keep those up to date as well. So we try to, you know, if there's any changes, we'll make changes on our end. So just with the click of the button, you can pull up your report, which is my favorite thing, probably. It's so easy. It's wonderful. I can't imagine doing it any other way.
Oh, I am so in love with that feature. I always dread at the end of the year, even though I don't have as many animals as you as the Wildlife Center of Virginia, but it's like this onerous task and then going through all the paper and all that kind of stuff. Now, and I still do use paper, but then I transfer it right away to the database and then do use a lot of the features as far as treatments and that kind of thing. But I'm still kind of where I have my rehab in my basement. Wi-Fi is tough. So I've been still going with paper, but I've been trying to figure out how I can just like have a tablet or something and just enter it right there and not have to bypass the paper altogether. That's what I really want. Is there anything else, any other features you want to highlight or anything else you would like people to know?
I'm trying to think what else. The one thing, I guess, about from a data perspective, within Wild One, you have the ability to pull custom reports yourself. So if you have specific questions about your center and your data, there's all these different parameters you can put in and decide how you want to build a report, basically, which is really cool. So there's all those like and or statements in there. So you can say you want to find, you know, cottontails admitted and because they were caught by a cat between such and such a date, and it'll pull all that for you. And you can get really specific. Like you can say, you know, all cottontails under a certain weight that were caught by Cat before this date that also got meloxicam. Like, it's incredibly, incredibly specific. Wow. If you want it to be. And we just added a bunch of search parameters there pretty recently because I was doing some research and I couldn't get what I want pulled. So I had them modify it on the back end for me to make it a lot easier. So now I there's so many parameters you can search by. And it's really, really cool. You can ask very specific questions of it. It'll give you a very specific answer, which is pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah. I'm thinking too, as you're talking about that I think there's an advantage because you're not only, you know, promoting Wild One and it's a database and everything, but you are an on the ground user of the program. So yeah, I love that a lot. That's great.
It's very cool, and I mean I love it. I'm used to using it, of course, but it works really, right, really well for me, and it's very customizable, which I think is very useful for many people. There's so many different ways you can use it. You know, we have users who simply just use it to track their admissions and their releases, and then we have people like us who use it, you know, to the full extent with all the medical management and patient management, and all those things. So.
Oh my goodness. Anything else to add? I mean, it's been pretty interesting conversation and pretty comprehensive, I think. But is there anything else?
Oh, I don't think so. What else? Oh, yes. I have so many more things I could tell you. Goodness. Another thing I love about it is, you know, it has a physical exam form in there that you fill out. So mm-hmm. when you put your physical exam in, you check off that you've done it and it brings up this form and it asks you all the questions that you should be asking on a physical exam. You know, what was the body condition? What was the weight? How are the eyes? How are the feet? So right. for people who are new in their rehab career and potentially learning to do a physical exam, it's going to make sure you checked everything, right? Like, it's going to, you know, make sure you did check the eyes and check the feet and those types sure. of things. Mm-hmm. So that's really useful for me from especially a teaching perspective. When I'm working with students, they can look at that form and know exactly all the things they need to look at and have right. in their medical record, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that's nice. So it's also one thing where you know, you've got this exam form, so it does walk you through it. So you're not going to forget anything because it's there. Yeah.
Nice. Oh my gosh. I thought of another fun feature that this is
yes,
one of my
please.
Favorites. It also has something called prescription expirations. So every single day I can go in and I can see anything that is set to end on that day. So any okay. medications that ended, any procedures that ended, any meals that are ending, so that I don't miss things. So it kind of has a flag for me that's saying, you know, today is this patient's last day of meloxicam. Are you happy with that? Or do you want to extend that a few more days?
Right.
So right. it's helpful from that perspective for treatment planning. So I don't, mm-hmm. as the vet, you know, when you're managing all these cases, so you don't miss something and, you know, forget about a patient that needed potentially more analgesia or forget about a bandage change or something like that.
Right.
It kind
right.
of flags you every day as to these are the things that aren't going to happen tomorrow. Are you sure you don't want them to happen tomorrow? Right. So that's super helpful from my perspective when you're trying to remember things and manage things and keep track of everything, which is really right. nice.
Oh my gosh, that is a really nice feature, for sure. And boy, I think that this conversation, I mean, I'm already on a database, but hopefully this conversation has convinced people who are on the fence or not sure or just beginning that a database, whether it's Wild One, there's a few others, would be an important thing that you should incorporate as soon as possible to your rehabilitation activities. And I think that there's a lot of advantages to doing it. Certainly, if you're my age, trying to adapt to it and learn it, there might be a little bit of a learning curve, but at the same time, well worth the time invested.
Definitely, yeah. I was just about to say that, you know, it's more work up front, but in the long run, you're going to benefit from it. And that's like anything in life. Everything feels hard at first until you do it for a while, and then it becomes normal. So
That's right. And change is always hard, whether it's good change or not good change, but it's always hard. But this is an endeavor well worth your time. Dr. Pierce, I am so thrilled that you could spend some time with us today and talking to us about databases for wildlife rehabilitation, because I think it's such an important subject. And yeah, I so appreciate your time. That was Dr. Kara Pierce, Director of Veterinary Services at the Wildlife Center of Virginia. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Wildlife Rehabilitation from Rescue to Release Season 2. Wildlife Rehabilitation from Rescue to Release is a production of Partners for Wildlife, working hand in hand with wildlife rehabilitators and veterinarians to improve the welfare of orphaned, ill, and injured wildlife. Our executive producer is me, Gail Buell. I'm the Partnership Coordinator for Partners for Wildlife at the University of Minnesota College of Veterinary Medicine's Raptor Center. To learn more about the Raptor Center and Partners for Wildlife, visit raptor.umn.edu. Our producer is Kirk Clocky. Special thanks to Dr. Kara Pierce, the Wildlife Center of Virginia, Partners for Wildlife, and the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota College of Veterinary Medicine. And that's our show. Hope you'll join us again next time.